Today's reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 16, reading from verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon answered, "You are the Messiah, Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Dave, for that reading. And good morning, everyone. Let's just pray as we look together at that passage. Let me pray. Father, we want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for your written word. But thank you for your living word, the Lord Jesus. And we pray that our ears may be open to hear his voice this morning, our eyes to see his beauty, and that our lives may be shaped by him for your glory, Lord. Amen. So, I want you to think about Jesus. What kind of picture do you have of him? How do you imagine him in your mind? And I wonder whether he's the real Jesus. The Jesus who fed more than 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. The Jesus who walked on water and calmed the storm. The Jesus who healed the Canaanite's daughter. Because that's the Jesus that Matthew has been showing us in the last few chapters. A Jesus who has compassion upon the crowds. A Jesus of supernatural power. But a Jesus who rebukes hypocrisy and pride. And I wonder if that's our Jesus. Because this morning we come to a key moment in the Gospels. Matthew wants us to see the real Jesus. He wants us to see who he is and what he has come to do. And so he asks us 2 questions. And I'd like us for a few moments this morning to think together about those questions. And firstly, therefore, who is Jesus? Now, just imagine going into the centre of Chester and stopping people in the streets and asking them this question. Who do you think Jesus is? Some, I suspect, would say that he never existed, though serious historians would disagree with them. Others might say that he was a good man, a great teacher, but he wasn't divine. And there may be a few who would say that he was a revolutionary or a social liberator. Well, the same was true in Jesus' day. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And he was talking about himself, because the Son of Man was Jesus' preferred title for talking about himself. "Who do the people say I am?" And the disciples reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And that was an understandable reaction. Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist come back from the dead. Elijah was expected to return before that great and terrible day of the Lord. And Jesus reminded people of the great prophets of old, like Jeremiah. So that he's not gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He's like a fearless prophet, the one who confronted injustice, the ones who challenged the rulers of their day. So there's our understandable reactions, but inadequate. Jesus is a prophet, but he's so much more than a prophet. And so Jesus asks a second question. But what about you? Who do you say I am? And that's the real question, isn't it? The question for us this morning. The disciples have been with Jesus. They've heard his wonderful teaching. They've seen his marvelous works. How much have they understood about Jesus? And Matthew, I think, wants to ask us that same question this morning. What's our picture of Jesus? And how does that compare with the real Jesus? Yes, we may have been church members for many, many years. And we probably heard lots of sermons like this one. And we know the right answer. But what do we really believe about Jesus? And what difference does that belief make in our lives? Well, listen to Peter's answer. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." The Messiah in Hebrew, the Christ in Greek. Literally, the anointed one. Because Israel didn't crown their kings in the way that we do. They anointed them with oil. And so Peter is saying, Jesus, you are the promised one, the anointed king, long expected through the Old Testament. Think, for example, of the promise that God made to David in 2 Samuel 7. "I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." That was God's promise to David. But the promise was, the problem was that David's offspring didn't walk faithfully in the ways of the Lord. And the line seemed to end with the exile. But the promise, the hope, endured. Or perhaps think of that promise that God gave to through Isaiah, a promise that we hear read every Christmas. The promise that God was going to send a perfect ruler, one who would reign on David's throne, who would rule with peace, who would bring justice and righteousness, who would reign forever. Or think of Isaiah 61, where Isaiah talks about the anointed one, the one who will, upon whom the Spirit is going to rest. And Isaiah says he will proclaim good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. Now, that's what the people of Jesus' day were longing for, an end to the Roman occupation, freedom from spiritual exile. And it's what we long for, isn't it? Someone who will sort out the mess and put things right. The war in Ukraine and Iran, the suffering of so many in Gaza and in Sudan, the climate crisis, the injustice that many experience, the conflict in our own hearts. Can politics sort out the mess in Britain today? Is Andy Burnham the new Messiah who's going to put things right? Or will Reform and Nigel Farage save us? Or should we just despair as we think about the future? Well, certainly God works through human rulers. And certainly we're called to pray for our leaders. But politicians only make us long for a better king. And Peter says he's come. Jesus is the one that we've all been waiting for. There's a new king upon the throne. And Jesus doesn't deny it. He's the fulfillment of prophecy. That's what the miracles mean. God has broken in, and the king has come to put things right. Now, it's true that he's also the suffering servant described by Isaiah. And we'll see that in our next passage next week. He can only bring an end to the exile by dealing with God's judgment upon sin. And he'll do that by dying and rising again. But Peter has begun to understand who Jesus is. So who do we say that he is? Is he the Messiah, the promised king? And if so, what difference does it make to our lives? Will we do his will on earth as it's done in heaven? Will we work for righteousness and justice in our places of work? Will we show his grace and love to our colleagues and neighbours? Will we seek to mould the culture of our society? And will we care for the creation that he's given us? Who is Jesus? He's the Messiah who has come to rescue and to rule. But secondly, what will Jesus do? And Jesus says he will build his church and nothing can stop him. Talking about that new community gathered around the Messiah, those who bow the knee to his kingly rule. Jesus says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And he's almost certainly talking about Peter as the rock on which the church is built. Peter says Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus says Peter is the rock. Because Peter is the first to affirm that Jesus is Christ. He is the first stone to be laid. But the important thing is that Jesus will build his church. Christianity isn't about individual Christians going off to heaven when they die, wonderfully true though that may be. Christianity is about God fulfilling his purpose to unite all things in earth and in heaven. The church is a small working model of the new creation, an advert, a trailer for the kingdom of God. And the promise is that nothing will extinguish that church. Yes, there may be setbacks for God's people. There may be places where the visible church is unfaithful. And we may suffer dreadfully wounds at the hands of Satan. Think, for example, of persecuted Christians today. But God's story will come to a glorious conclusion. Christ is the victor. And that's why we should be encouraged this morning. We're not the biggest church in the diocese, and it's easy to become discouraged when people leave and go to another church. The world thinks the church is irrelevant, and it's easy to feel gloomy about our future. But God has made a promise, and he is in the process of keeping it. And death itself won't prevail against us. So Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And those keys are a symbol of Christ's authority. When I became vicar of All Saints, I was given a very large bunch of keys. And those keys opened every door in the church and in the church centre. And I even had a key that opened the safe. In fact, I had lots of keys and I never found out exactly what it was that they were supposed to open. But I was given authority. I was put in charge. And Jesus describes himself as the one who has the keys. He says to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. Because Jesus has authority. Jesus is in charge. But he's given that authority to his church. Remember the end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And we are his representatives, sent to make disciples, to go with his authority. And it's what we see Peter doing in the book of Acts. He stands up on the day of Pentecost and he announces the good news. God has made this Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And he's using the keys that God has given him, and thousands are set free. Jesus says it's our job to use the keys of the kingdom. And we do that as we share the truth. The gospel sets people free. We hear the good news and trust what Christ has done for us. And that's how important evangelism is. So it means we must use the keys in order to open the doors. But it also means that we must pray for the Father to reveal the truth. Why has Peter seen who Jesus is? Well, it's not because he got an A star in religious studies. And it's not because he's Googled the answer. It's because the Father has revealed it. Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." And we only believe who Jesus is because the Father has revealed it to us. Earlier in Matthew, Jesus said this, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." And if we think we know better than Jesus, then we remain blind spiritually. We won't recognize the truth when we see it. But if we're humble, then God will give us sight. We can't boast because we're Christians. It's not because we were better than anybody else. It's not because we're cleverer or more spiritual than anyone else. It's because God the Father has opened our eyes and in his grace and mercy enabled us to see. And that's why we need to pray for our unbelieving families and friends. Ask God to grant them the gift of faith. Who is Jesus? Peter says he's the Messiah, the King who has come to rescue and rule. He's good news for those who are poor and humble. He's comfort for the brokenhearted. He's freedom for those who are enslaved by their past. He's light for those in darkness and despair. And perhaps that's you this morning. Perhaps you feel that God has forsaken you, abandoned you, or the darkness has overtaken you, or you're trapped by your guilt. Well, the good news is that the King has come to save you. And one day he'll return to reign over his new creation. But now he's building his church. As we share the good news, as we pray for the spiritually blind, he comes to bring his blessing. So let's be quiet for a moment and let's ask whether our Jesus is the real Jesus. Let's rejoice in his gracious reign and let's give our lives to follow him afresh. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that by your Spirit, through your word, you reveal yourself to us today. Lord, thank you that you have made yourself known as Messiah, the one who fulfills the promises of the Old Testament, the King who has come to rescue and to reign. And we pray, Lord, that we may have grace to see that, to trust you, to know your blessings, and that we may be empowered by your Spirit to share the good news, that you might build your church through us. Lord, take us and use us for the honor and glory of your kingdom. Amen.